Hello, everyone. This is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube. Welcome to Season 3. If you enjoy listening to our show, consider subscribing to us on YouTube for exclusive video content. Thank you and enjoy today's episode. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Beppy are your hosts today, and we are continuing our Silent Hill retrospective. Today is Silent Hill 2. This is one of the most acclaimed horror games ever made. And this is, I think this is a big day, big episode. I mean, I've wanted to discuss this one for a while. I played it when I was in high school. I think it was like 15 years ago. Beppy, you just played it for the first time.
That's right.
And it was quite an experience for you, and we will break it all down. So go ahead.
Me? This is your favorite game. I don't know. Do you have any words you want to say first?
Yeah, sure. So Silent Hill 2, I think, is an important game for a lot of gamers, especially not only when it came out for, you know, even when I played it in high school, which would have been about 15 years ago. I think for me, this is one of those games where I say this phrase a lot. To me, this game is better than the sum of its parts. It's purely because of the story and the symbolism in the characters and the enemies. And it's really one of these games where I will talk about it, but this game is like, I would say, I'm going to say this carefully, it's like 80% nothing, yeah, and about 20% like one of the most heartbreaking games I've ever played in my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there isn't much to write home about in terms of the actual gameplay. Like, it's a big clunk fest, and it's not necessarily enjoyable to play, but it has the huge payoff, and we're going to talk about it all. I would say it just, it definitely influenced me in terms of it helped me figure out game stories that I like or what characters I tend to latch onto. That's probably my big takeaway to start this off, but you can, you know, go ahead and do whatever you'd like.
No, yeah, I guess I'd like to share my general impression of the game in terms of it started very strong for me and then kind of lost me for a while.
Yeah.
But then it gradually won me back over. Unfortunately, because Konami sucks in pretty much every way, they're like, no matter what way you go about it, you're going to have like not as good an experience as if you had played it in 2001 or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
So I played it. You were kind enough to lend me your PS2 and an HDMI converter. And for whatever reason, it did not play super well on my HDTV.
Mm-hmm.
I think I made some adjustments that made it more tolerable, but I generally found it like really hard to, like, way more than they were intending.
Mm-hmm.
Too hard to see. But from what I understand, they did make an HD port that is very much bemoaned by the fan base.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I think one of the first impressions is you walk into Silent Hill and the font is in Comic Sans for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the whole story, but from what I understand, they lost the original source code from the completed game, so they used a beta version, and so there are a lot of bugs that didn't exist in the original game. There's some textures and environments just missing. There are, you know, game-breaking bugs with achievements, and of course, they never fixed it. And I don't, why did they even put that out? Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't get, like, if this is such a beloved game, like, I don't know why they wouldn't put some, like, you know, extra care into it. I think, like, in general, I was holding this game to a higher standard because I've heard so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, amazing strong start. The atmosphere is immediately, like, very, like, suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
You're just, like, kind of, like, the score is kind of just sort of waves of, like, feedback.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
coming in, and, like, the score is just as good, if not better, than the first game, I mm-hmm. would say. Really cool intro. I don't know, I was just like really like waiting for the shoe to drop because I was just like, I can't, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it around a corner. Like,
right,
until you see like the first monster, it is really right, kind of like you're holding your breath.
I mean, that intro is like it. Is it weird to say it's very iconic for me?
Sure.
Where what I really like about it is it's very like jarring and there's a lot of nothing. Like, it's, you know, you start off in the bathroom. And you know what I actually don't know? Can you miss getting the map out of your car? I don't know if you can. But anyway, like, your car door is open, you get the map, And there's really the only thing you can do is just run down this giant path that leads you into the town, and there's a ton of nothing.
Well, it's really like the anticipation is killing you, because it's like for a long time you're not seeing anything, and you have to go into that tunnel.
Yep.
And that's where you encounter the first monster.
Right. I mean, I think like the premise of the game, everyone knows the premise of the game, like at this point.
Yeah. Just to be clear, I think you should say.
Yeah,
anyway.
Just to be clear, like you play as a character named James. Your wife died of an illness years ago, and you get a letter from her that she's waiting for you in Silent Hill in your special place. And so, James goes to Silent Hill to find her, even though it's pretty clear, like if you play this game as like, listen, like you and I are, 30 or approaching 30. It's pretty clear that James has some issues and like there's some mental health issues and stuff going on in this game. But they want to make you like believe that maybe she's still there or what is going on here.
Yeah.
Or why, if she died 3 years ago, why did you drive out here to do this? Mm-hmm. And that's really the story of the game.
Yeah.
Is your wife actually in Silent Hill? If she died, like, what are you doing? Is really why you're here.
Yeah, and it's unsettling that for a while you have nobody to talk to.
Yep.
The intro is fairly similar to the setup of the first game where you're looking for someone, but it obviously takes some interesting turns. I wanted to bring up an early highlight for me,
sure.
Which was when you're on your way to the first kind of, I call them like dungeons.
Yeah,
in these games, right? So you're just kind of walking around the town by yourself. You can't see anything, fog everywhere. And I think it really is testament to how good the sound mixing is in this game, because mm-hmm. It's very quiet, like by design.
Yep.
Like there's not a lot of, extra noise going around. It's just kind of you and the score, your footsteps. And a creature crawled out from under a car really fast.
Yeah.
And it makes this really high pitch, like almost like a cricket noise.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It scared the fucking shit out of me.
I
was not prepared for that at all. Mm-hmm. And I hate like the way it moves. It's just like, it really got under my skin.
You were just kind of like, almost like shuffle crawls without arms.
Yeah. And I was like, no, let's keep running. Let's just keep moving. We were talking a lot about the first kind of area you get into is the apartment complex.
Yeah, the apartment complex. Sure.
Yeah. So I think this is very well constructed, but I found it to be very tedious. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have any impressions about
it. I think you could probably describe this whole game like that. Where like, I think it's very well constructed and very in a very intelligent game, but the whole game is kind of a slog.
Yeah.
So what I think is very interesting about the apartment, I mean, there are several highlights for me, but there's some subtle stuff that I love to talk about where I didn't even know this until I was doing a recent playthrough. So you don't start with the flashlight. You have to find it in the apartment. But what I think is really neat is the apartment is totally dark, but there's like a single light that's flickering in one of the hallways, and you cannot read your map in the dark. But if you stand under the one light, you can read it.
Right.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't tell you that, but you're like, well, can you? Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. When did this game come out? 2001?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what highlights you want to talk on in the apartment. For me, there are a lot.
Well, I that was a good thing, and it's something that even the next game didn't have, where you can't read it in the dark. I wanted to bring up, just before we get into, like, you have a lot of the story highlights and stuff like that, but in terms of, I liked, I thought there was in general with these areas, there's a lot of rooms that just go like to waste.
Yeah.
But there are some pretty cool shortcuts. Like there's another ground floor door that you open up, mm-hmm. you unlock, and you kind of create a shortcut back to the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. I liked the clock puzzle a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I thought that was very, very creative, kind of a cute idea.
Henry Mildred Scott. Right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. But I didn't like, okay.
Here we go.
What I didn't like was there's another sort of puzzle where you have to get something out of the trash.
Okay.
It's like a garbage chute.
And you have to put a can of Coke down it or something, right?
Greg, I don't know. I tried everything.
Okay.
I tried, like, so imagine you're there.
Yeah.
Imagine you're doing it and like, oh, I see something in the trash. I know that there is an exit outside, mm-hmm. you know, like, so I'm going to knock it loose with something and it's going to fall down and mm-hmm. whatever. What would you try to knock it loose
I would
with?
Use the wooden plank that's with me.
Exactly. I mentioned this, like, or anything. Mm-hmm. The last thing I would do, like, there's, you get canned juice.
Oh, okay. It's not a can of Coke.
It's a pack of canned juice.
Yeah.
But so it doesn't say it's empty. It doesn't say it's garbage. It doesn't say that chute is recycling only.
Come on.
Just fucking throwing everything at the wall. Like, I don't know. That, because you had kind of the two extremes of like a brilliant puzzle and like a not so great puzzle.
No, I agree.
Right,
it's just, no, I did the same thing when I first played it. I said, well, can I just hit it with the piece of wood I have with me? I guess not.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I mean, there are there are a lot of parts of that apartment though that I think there's actually a really cool one that you missed.
Yeah,
and it could have been because you were playing it on a 4K TV, so it just looked like shit.
Sure,
the part where you're on the second floor and it's near the clock puzzle. It's a scripted moment when on the second floor there's like a metal grate and you can't walk through it. Pyramid Head's just looking at you and you can't touch him. He can't touch you and he doesn't move. He's just looking at you the whole time.
Yeah.
I said, fuck me. Like, this is like terrifying. And I'm telling you about it. You're like, what do you mean? I didn't even see that.
Yeah. Is this the first time you can see him?
No, I believe the first time you see him is in the I'm going to call it the sexual assault scene.
Oh,
do you remember
God.
That when like you have the gun and you hide in the closet, but it's a scripted, like, it's an FMV.
I loved that scene. Where, I mean, like, not for the reason that you think. I don't necessarily think that what was going on
was going on. Okay,
but maybe
so,
you know something I don't.
So, okay. I'm sure if you've played Silent Hill 2, that's why you're listening to this.
Yeah.
But if you haven't, there's a scene in the apartment where you go into one of the rooms and Pyramid Head, it looks like he...
Let me put it how I saw it.
Sure.
One way or another, he is like harassing these monsters, or he's like trying to kill them or something, or whatever. They're kind of flailing around.
Yeah.
But apparently there's a different read on that scene.
Sure. So he kind of has the monster by the legs. It's kind of in a sexual way. And like, here's the thing. I don't know whether it was the director of the game or the gameplay director or whoever it was, didn't exactly clear this up either.
Okay.
He said something in the media like 10 years ago where I don't like using this word, but like it's not a rape scene, but it's not a rape scene. He said something like that, where it was meant to symbolize that, but he's not actually like doing that to the monster, but it was meant to look like that.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but like the imagery of all the monsters is very kind of sexualized.
Undercurrent.
And I thought that scene was great because it's a great intro to him because he's very scary. And it reminded me of the Big Daddy, I guess.
Yeah,
I feel like they definitely took some cues from
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And he just like, he takes a couple shots at him. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's like your character is hiding. You know what though? There's something really cool about that scene that I want to bring up.
Yeah.
I love this about this game. Do you ever experience those games where your character shoots at somebody in a cutscene, but during the gameplay, you're out of ammo. So how did you shoot? They did a great thing in this game where during that cutscene, James picks up a magazine, loads it and shoots. So even if you as the gamer had no ammo, he puts it in himself
shoot. That's
so good. They thought of that stuff, little like immersion things that would break it for me.
Yeah. You brought up a pretty cool, another kind of really dread inducing moment was like that. And you find that guy dead in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Like soundtrack going on in the background.
And I think that's scripted too, where he's not always in front of the TV. I believe it's when you have the answer to the clock puzzle, it's scripted.
Because
you hear him scream in the apartment.
Well,
I don't know if you caught that.
I did. But I thought the scream was actually kind of funny.
It is funny.
But someone's having some trouble in the bathroom or something. Yeah. But once you walk in on that, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah. I mean, well, also it's meant to symbolize something later, which we'll talk about.
Sure.
But they put him in the same position.
Yeah. Are you good to get into the boss battle of this part?
Yeah. I mean, last thing I want to mention is they do. There's a lot of subtlety and like symbolism and visual and audio symbolism in this game. There's another good one. When you pick up the flashlight, the mannequin that's wearing the flashlight is wearing your wife's outfit from the photo.
Yeah.
Which is a very subtle thing, but they do, even though this game plays like shit, they do a lot of, they do a good job connecting everything together.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's talk about the conflict, the Pyramid Head boss.
Yeah, what did you think of it? It's kind of clunky, but it's fun.
What's interesting about the Pyramid Head boss is you don't actually have to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to survive, but the game doesn't tell you that. It's not, remember the shitty Resident Evil boss? 7 minutes is all I have to play with you. Is that not, what does he say?
It's Wesker.
Yeah. So it's actually a timed boss battle, and I believe depending on what difficulty you play on, it's shorter or longer.
I just kept whacking him with the wood.
Oh, okay. You kept whacking him with the pole.
And when you hit him, it makes that very satisfying, like, clunk when it hits his helmet.
But, I mean, it's a cool boss battle where, like, the gameplay in Silent Hill is really easy, but that boss battle, you can get one hit by the overhead swing, which is so it is dangerous, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, even if you're on, like, easy or whatever, he can one-hit kill you. No, I thought that was cool, and then he walks into the water, which I reflected on later, and I was like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really like a highlight. I guess a good time to maybe get into the supporting cast a little bit.
I was going
to
say,
themselves here.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly after this, you meet Maria.
Yep.
Who looks identical to Mary, your wife.
Yep, but she's kind of like the sexier version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little, you know, very kind of soap opera or David Lynch-y kind of like where it's like identical person, you know, playing the same role. Angela, you meet pretty early on.
Yeah, you meet her on your way into Silent Hill for the first time. Like you meet her in the graveyard and then you also meet her again in the apartment. And that's when you get her knife.
Right.
Is when, because there's some self-harm like indication there where you take it from her.
Yeah.
Because you kind of stop her from hurting yourself.
Yeah.
Like you meet Eddie in the apartment too.
That's right.
Because I think he's vomiting in one of the toilets. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's why you hear that weird scream and you hear the vomiting from the hall. And I'm like, what's going on with this?
Yeah. Kid? Yeah. I mean, that was kind of scary. I was like, what is going on there?
Is that implying that like he's like bulimic, like he's making himself throw up? There's a lot of like fat like shaming in this game.
No, I think what they're implying is that he kills people or that he's murdered some people, and I think he's grossed out by either what he's doing or he's making himself sick, or it could be a bulimia reference. I'm not really sure. I feel like they kind of allude to all of those things.
Yeah, I like that about the game in general, is that nothing is spelled out for you.
Yeah,
it's like
sure.
You form your own connection.
I mean, outside of the apartment too, you meet Laura for the first time. They kind of throw all the characters at you, kind of in this little area,
and that's good because you spend like kind of an equal amount of time with everybody. But she's just kind of this cryptic child.
Yeah.
Every now and then, I actually, while we're on like kind of the broader, facets of the game, I found the enemy pal to be a little disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
And I couldn't believe that he wanted even fewer, the director, I believe.
Wow. Okay.
Or Masahiro Ito.
Yeah.
He, I think there is maybe 9 in total, and he wanted 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
And
sure.
To me, like, I mean, I loved all the ones in the first game, and they all represented something interesting. They do in this game too, but the thing about it is, when you are, I got lost a lot in this game.
Okay.
And when you see like the same monster over and over again, it becomes less scary by nature.
Yeah, sure.
So if you like, I feel like if you had more kind of cropping up, it would kind of add some heightened the tension a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little disappointing to me. And I think this part is the hospital is where you go next.
Yeah, because you're outside with Maria, and you kind of have to guide her around.
Yes.
Because I think you're chasing Laura.
I had no idea what I was doing in that part.
Sure. You're talking about the outdoor section in between the apartment and the hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening here is you meet up with Maria. You kind of say, you can follow me, because you don't want to leave her behind. You don't know who she is.
Yeah.
And you go into the bowling alley before the hospital.
Yeah.
And that's where is that funny line where Eddie's eating pizza?
Yes.
And like, I don't even remember what the line
is. He's like, how can you eat pizza?
Yeah. And like, Laura and Eddie are just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's I think that's actually one of the most bizarre parts of the game. You don't actually do anything in the bowling alley. You just walk through it. Nothing happens.
Yeah. I don't think there's any items.
No, there's none. It's totally nothing. Yeah. But you chase Laura essentially like through the... It's implied that I think Maria is a dancer or a stripper. Right?
Yeah.
And then you chase her into the hospital. And that's really the next quote unquote kind of dungeon part.
Oh, because you go through like the strip club.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the hospital I found pretty dull as well.
Yeah.
I mean, because you've seen the nurses in the previous game.
Yep. Okay.
And then you go through like the other world section of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any like highlights of that?
Yeah. Section? The hospital section in particular. What I thought was really neat about the hospital is when it changes over to the other one. That's when I was a kid, I was like, wait, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Because I think what Silent Hill 2 tries to do differently than the first one is they try to make the real world and the other world similar, where it's just jarring enough where it's scary, but it's not meat hooks and grinding grates and shit.
Yeah.
Because what they tried to do, because obviously in the hospital is when they have that chase sequence. And I believe that's when Maria is killed for the first time.
Yes. Yeah.
Because really how the hospital plays out is like Maria said she has to lie down and like you leave her alone for a while. Then it's really boring because you have to solve a bunch of puzzles and nothing happens. But then what happens when you get to the end of the hospital is when it gets interesting, is when you have that chase sequence and Pyramid Head chases you down a hallway, but he ends up killing Maria and you can't do anything to stop it.
Yeah.
Which is, and I don't remember if before or after is when the hospital looks different. I think it's before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the only standout for me is when I started saying, wait a minute, like, is the fucked up hospital with everything's all boarded up, is that the real one? Or is the hospital you walk into the first time, is that what Silent Hill actually looks like? I don't really know.
I didn't really, because until, you know, doing these episodes, I didn't really understand fully because so much of it is what comes out of your imagination. I didn't really understand the relationship between Silent Hill as it normally is and Silent Hill in like the Rust kind of
the other world
and everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I guess it varies game to game,
mm-hmm.
but what that relationship is. But isn't this the part with the guys that hang from the ceiling?
Yeah, what are they called? I think they're actually called the Flesh Lips or something like that. You're talking about that boss fight where Laura locks you in the room?
Yeah.
Where they kind of grab you by the feet or something. It's really weird.
I love these guys. They're really funny.
Yeah, this funny boss battle.
They just kind of try to grab you with their feet.
Well, I mean, most of the boss battles in this game are bad. And like this one's just like kind of funny. Where they're just kind of rotating on things on
the
ceiling.
They have like, yeah, there's like tracks built into the ceiling.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Funny boss fight. But I mean, I liked it. I've never seen anything like that
before.
There's
also that other weird moment where like you can play a game show. Remember that you get called
in the elevator?
It's
really
weird. Like, I don't understand this.
It's only if you've... Yeah, I think you get like bonus shit.
You get like consumable items.
If you if you've been paying attention, if you picked up like the memos, you can see.
Yeah, you have to solve a quiz show. It's really strange.
Yeah. I like that a lot though, because, you know, yet again, something I haven't seen before. I think after this you start running around at night, right?
Yeah.
I hated that.
You hated that? I actually really liked it.
It was more like, I can't see anything. Like, when is this over?
Yeah.
What did you like about it?
What I like about it is there's a wall in Silent Hill that says it won't open until the shadows or something like that. So if you knew where that was, that's how you get out. If you found that during the day, there's also like some stuff in the town. I'm not sure if you can do this in the beginning of the game. Did you find all the messages like in Neely's bar and like there's a hole here, but it's gone now? Like the weird shit.
I saw some writing on a wall and it was like, if you want to see Mary, just die. Like she's, you know, you guys aren't going to the same places or something.
Yeah.
A little foreshadowing.
I think that's the part where that happens too, where you can go into some buildings and there's weird messaging and really like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. I think like a good time in general to not belabor the point or anything, but I was talked a lot about in the first game how much I liked messing around the town. You don't do that much of it in this game.
No, I think that's the last time you do it. Is the nighttime section.
Yeah. And so I guess something different, you know, that they didn't completely copy-paste the first game. That is cool. But this is like, this was kind of a, the game won me over a little bit more with the historical society.
Yeah, it's when it gets really, really like, I don't want to say, I don't want to keep using the word bizarre.
Yeah.
But it gets into, it's kind of like they're kind of trying to, you're kind of descending into hell a little bit.
Well, yeah. Even like before that,
yeah.
Learning about the history of the town and like mm-hmm. the accident with the boat or whatever.
Yeah.
How there's like 70 something people who died at the bottom of the lake or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're learning about, like, it's kind of interesting that it's that they're kind of reckoning with the bloody history of the town where mm-hmm. there's this whole like prison complex underneath and everything like that and labor camps and whatnot. And you see Pyramid Head in a painting.
Yeah.
Like he was like, it was just kind of some artistic interpretation of an executioner or something.
Yep.
A lot of cool ideas. But that is when you kind of get this very disorienting, you just keep dropping down holes like yeah. several in a row. And it's mm-hmm. it's funny, but it's like really disorienting. And
yeah.
at a certain point, you start hearing this really unsettling track that sounds like someone screaming, but really like digitally distorted and yeah. stretched out.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome part of the game. That really like did a lot for me.
Right. I mean, and you also like it's really strange. Like when you get like kind of all the way down, like I believe you go to the gallows and there are gravestones of people. Like I believe there's yeah. an Angela gravestone and an Eddie gravestone. Yours is there.
Yeah.
I think you jump down into your own hole.
Yeah. That's how you progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get to the prison that's down there, and I didn't like this very much either.
It's another one of those, like, this game kind of has, like, the four or five dungeon segments, yeah. and this is another one.
So, I mean, at this point, I realize I'm, like, looking at the map for the prison. I'm like, this looks like an Excel spreadsheet. Like,
yeah.
is it, like, there's, like, so few of the rooms open. I thought the puzzles were decent in this part. We
yeah.
have to melt the doll or whatever mm-hmm. and create, like, the horseshoe
mm-hmm, to
handle.
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah, the gallows room was pretty unsettling because it's a positive thing that you can't really see too much.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going on in there. And there's some like really strange noises
mm-hmm.
that don't seem to have an owner.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you're walking through some of the prison corridors.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. There's a pretty weird boss fight with Eddie.
Yeah, so we should talk about that. So I feel like with Silent Hill 2, like if you don't, we kind of have to talk about characters and all the little subplots running through the game.
Yeah.
Because it's probably one of the most important parts of the game because most of the game is a slog.
Yeah.
So like with Eddie, it's kind of implied that he either was hurting animals or hurting people. And so when you encounter him I'm trying to think, like, you encounter him in the apartment, you encounter him in the bowling alley, and then I think the next time you encounter him is here, in like, the bottom of the prison.
Yeah.
And I think it's him, he tells you that he killed somebody, or, like, he's shooting people and killing yeah. them, and then you try to, like, talk him down, but then he thinks you're making fun of him.
Yeah.
Or something.
He's like, you're like everybody else.
Yeah,
you're
bullying him.
Yeah.
So you get into, like, a really awkward gunfight with Eddie where you just, you know, you'd shoot him a couple
of
times.
Waste them.
You kind of just kill this kid.
Yeah.
And it's not good, but I guess I get it. I don't know how else you would play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's in, like, sort of a, like, meat locker or something. And I get... because I struggled in some places with understanding how the other characters played into your story.
Yeah.
Like, are they just kind of other people who are wandering through?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I get, you know, how when you kill him, he goes, oh, I killed a human being. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like this
yeah,
big
yeah.
kind of...
Well, I feel like in this game, a lot of the characters are unrelated to your story. Like, you know, Angela, it's implied that she's there because she either killed her dad or like her dad abused her.
Yeah.
And so Silent Hill has brought her there for that reason.
Sure.
Or like, you know, Eddie was killing animals and maybe he killed a person and he's there. You know, you're there for reasons we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah.
I think they're unrelated. Laura is a part of your story, but the other ones are not. They have their, you know, their own story and their reasons why they're there that are unrelated.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of, you know, how they directly affect you are kind of unrelated, but I'm trying to see like what the point was when in reflecting like the themes of the game.
Yeah, sure.
Like that, what they had to do with this story. This is a part that I didn't like. Okay. When you get in the boat.
And this is odd.
I didn't get it.
I don't get it.
I'm like, why was this not a cutscene?
I don't know. And what's really interesting is it's a stat at the end of the game. How fast were you able to row there?
I didn't get
it. And it also has no bearing on the ending either. So
I thought it would.
No, it doesn't. No. So I have no idea why there's a rowboat section. I think they just wanted to is it another one of those things where, like the intro where they wanted it to be long? Like you're finally getting to the hotel and like, okay, so we're going to make you row for 5 minutes.
Right.
I don't get this. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was, just because you have to row towards the light. Maybe it was just really dragging it out.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But yeah, you get to the hotel. I like the hotel better than some of the other places.
It's also shorter.
Yeah.
It's more straightforward.
Angela's dad is here.
Oh, Abstract Daddy.
he looks like a door.
Yeah.
I thought this was cool, but I thought it was a little... I hate when they do this in games, when it's undercut. It's supposed to represent the dad who's like, you know, I'm an abstract character, mm-hmm. but then they turn him into a mob.
Yeah.
Like you fight more of them. Like,
yeah, it's like I didn't get why like he was a boss battle, but now he's an enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I guess it's one of those Taurus demon Capra demon things.
We're going to
recycle some of these guys. No, I thought it was great. All right. So I guess do you have any, before we get to like the big reveal, do you have any other highlights of the hotel?
My highlight has to do with after the reveal. It's kind of when the game came together for me.
Yeah.
Well, what I thought the hotel was one of the scarier parts of the game because, well, we'll talk about this in about T-minus a few minutes.
Yeah.
It looks so perfect and like it's still put together. And that's why I was like, okay, what the fuck's going to happen here? Like, there's no way. Like, what's going to, well, we should just get to the fucking point here. Okay. Let's just get to the reveal here.
Hey, so, listen, it was spoiled for me long ago,
so,
and I still played the game. And, you know, I don't know. I thought I want to give our audience a little bit of a, you know, I don't want it to be spoiled like it was for me for everybody else. So if you are really, maybe just shut the episode off, because I feel like we're going to be talking about it for the rest of
this. Yeah, I feel like from this point on, you might as well stop listening if you're
going to
play it.
Yeah.
So the big reveal here is, so James like originally didn't know, when Mary says in the letter, come to my special place or our special place and meet me, you don't know where that is.
Yeah.
But you figure out, okay, I think it's the hotel where we had our honeymoon. So you
had a note in the lobby that says what room and
everything. Yeah. So you end up going to the hotel room where you had your honeymoon. And there's this kind of, you have to kind of stretch your reality a little bit, where you end up watching a videotape in the hotel room where big spoiler here, Mary didn't die 3 years ago from a disease. James suffocated her with a pillow a couple of days ago. And it's kind of the big reveal where it's not realistic that James would have the murder on tape. I think it's more of like his reality is so warped. Anyway, go ahead.
I thought the actual, because obviously it was spoiled for me numerous times because I guess people don't care anymore. But I thought the actual reveal was not great. But everything that happened afterwards was good.
Yeah.
I thought like, as another instance of, I can't really see what's happening. And I thought I missed something. I thought I like skipped over something by accident until he's like in the chair and he admits it to Laura. And it's such a fascinating twist, because that's not necessarily new, where it was like, oh, he killed his wife the whole time, like had been done by so many movies before. But the way that it handles it is very good, where she was dying.
Yeah.
And it really deals with all the different kind of micro emotions that a couple must go through during these, you know, times. And
yeah.
How he was kind of putting her out of her misery, or was how much of it was that, and how much of it was that he wanted to get back to his life. You have all these sexual monsters running around. There's a lot of undercurrent about like sexual frustration because, you know, she's weak from her illness. And I mean, like I said, like the reveal I thought could have been done better, but after that was especially when everything changes.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. I think for me personally, I didn't play this when I was 30. I was like 16.
Yeah.
It feels so bad. Like even though it's not realistic that he would have the murder on tape, he probably didn't. It's probably his imagination or him kind of snapping back to reality here.
Watching himself do it, like, yeah, in third person.
Yeah. I think for me, I just feel bad for him. Like, you go through this whole game, you're like, there's no way, like, you know that his wife didn't write him a letter. You're in Silent Hill probably because you're going through a bunch of stages of grief. Also, you don't know that James killed her. He does. But, you know, and I just feel bad for the guy. And then when you watch the tape, I just went, ugh.
Yeah.
And of course, like, he did it a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I think kind of right when this happens in the game to the end is when it becomes like one of the best games I've ever played.
Yeah.
A really subtle thing that happens that's really fucked up is that the letter disappears, mm-hmm. which means, of course, she didn't write him a letter. It's fake. He mm-hmm. imagined this. That stops. And another thing that really kind of blew my brain when I was a teenager was when you walk out of the hotel room, the hotel looks like a burnt out, flooded piece of shit. And I said, oh no, like, of course the hotel doesn't look like this magical, rich, you know, put together resort. Of course it's a burnt out piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, James, because everything, you know, he's having so many issues psychologically, he's trying to think of the hotel as he remembered it, which was this resort. But it actually, but when after you watch the videotape and you snap back to like lucidity and back to reality, no, the hotel's actually a burnt out piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I said, oh no, like, oh, God damn it.
It was one of my favorite parts because of that song that's in that meme that we love.
Yeah.
Black Fairy, Blank Fairy, and it plays... it plays as you're kind of running through the shot up hotel with like the water dripping down and everything. And it's really kind of gripping you and making you stew in what just happened, which I thought was great.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, it kind of put the whole game together for me, where it kind of made me realize I had to think back to the hospital section. Oh, wait a minute. Which version of the hospital is the real one?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
And like what? Because maybe we've just been playing through James' psyche the whole game.
I feel like just mentioning that meme is really funny.
Yeah.
Maybe we can link to it or something.
Yeah.
It's just like this guy who's locked in his car and his girlfriend is like banging on the window. He's clearly done something wrong, but he's turning up the music and like someone dubbed in like this Silent Hill track. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
Like that he'd rather be listening to that.
Yeah. Than this.
So like dread inducing.
that
part was awesome. I that's kind of also where Angela's story wraps up, where she walks into the fire.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of tangential to what was going on. Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, she, that's where I feel like the game kind of makes the player very aware that these characters are either living through multiple realities or they all have mental issues.
Yeah.
Where Angela says something like, you know, well, James says it's hot as hell in here. And Angela says something like, it's always like that for me.
Yeah.
So it makes you think, is she just like burning and sweating all the time as her punishment?
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
Instead of like a flooded hotel.
Is it all burning?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
And he won't give her back the knife.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
And I also thought that was kind of fucked up too. Like, I don't know what the game is implying here, where if you look at Angela's story as a whole, she was sexually abused by her dad. You kill Abstract Daddy, which is Angela thinks is her dad, but to you it's just a monster.
Yeah.
But Angela's ending is she walks up into fire. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know, what are they implying?
I wasn't sure if there was a connection I was missing with the first game because of the girl who gets caught on fire.
Maybe. I don't know if like Silent Hill is punishing Angela for killing her dad, or are they using fire as a, you know how like sometimes water is a synonym for healing? Are they saying fire is just burning away everything and turning it to ash? I don't know.
Either or, yeah.
I have no idea.
That's like I said, it leaves a lot to interpretation.
Yeah.
I loved the Pyramid Head. When there's fucking two of them.
Yeah. What I think is really interesting about this too is Maria's back. Like, the game keeps doing this to you and doing this to James where he has to keep watching her get killed. Like, she gets killed by Pyramid Head in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Then we skipped over this a little bit. You see her after that, and she's in a cell in the prison, and she's like, oh, I'm fine. Like, what are you talking about? And so you start to think to yourself, is she not real? like, what is this? What is going on here? Did James make her up too? Is she not a real character?
Right.
I don't know. But in this boss battle, she gets executed again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ugh. And I think it's kind of funny, like, and James is a weird character to like to play as a player, because you shouldn't feel bad for him because he did murder his wife, but he's also gone through so much. You do feel bad.
I mean,
for
you
him.
Have like nobody else to latch on to.
I know.
Might as well.
And it's like the double pyramid head battle is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think what they're
one ever told you there was two of them.
I think what they're trying to symbolize is like James is not going to give in to them and get killed by them. He kind of like understood what he did and why he's there, and now he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah. Well, you've kind of like a duality.
Yeah.
You know, metaphor there, but they what I loved is that when you beat them, they kill themselves, they run themselves through on like spears.
Yeah,
or whatever.
They kill themselves.
It looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's like very symbolic. Metal. Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah, and if you interact with them, he says, "I don't need you anymore."
Yeah,
and it's like implying that they are a form of, you know,
punishment, mental
and
punishment,
like, you know, giving himself shit. And I thought the final boss was very scary. And I think this is kind of, if I don't know much about like how to get the different endings or whatever.
I do. We'll talk about it after.
For me, it was Maria who turned into this, the kind of like the hanging dudes from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of like really sharp camera cuts and it's very disorienting.
Yep.
Something about it was very unsettling and just kind of... like the air was very still or something.
You're up in like the top of the hospital, but it's all blown out.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
Yeah. I thought it was a very effective final encounter. But do you want to talk about the ending qualifications?
Yeah, sure. So, the final ending of the game is you get a little final message from Mary saying how, like, you know, how she's writing you like, I know you've been through a lot. It's kind of like this... this very like feel good, but like melancholic sort of like her, you get her final message to you.
Yeah. And I thought that was like the best acting.
I agree. Yeah. Cause Mary's voice actor doesn't really do anything beyond that.
Well, then, and Maria, she voices her as well.
Well, the way you get the different endings to me is fascinating. It's one of the best parts of the game to me is like for you. Well, there really are three main endings. The joke ones, we'll talk about them after.
Mm-hmm.
Like the three main endings are you understand what you did, you accept it, and you leave, and you leave with Laura.
Mm-hmm. That was the one I got.
Yeah, me too. Thank God. The second ending is you kill yourself, you drive your car into the lake.
Okay.
And the third one is you leave with Maria, you leave with the stripper, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So the leave ending, so there's a lot of debate in terms of what is the canon ending. Like, do you leave with Laura or do you kill yourself? It's kind of fucked up, but some people sort of side on you killing yourself is the canon ending, where you just want to be with Mary and she's in the back of your car the whole game and you just drive into the lake.
Yeah,
that's kind of fucked up.
See, that I didn't know either.
Yeah, so she's in the back of your car the whole game, hint, hint, which is kind of fucked up if you think about how the game starts.
Mm-hmm.
You can just go into your front seat and get the map and she's just probably laying there.
Yeah.
Ouch. But the, what's kind of implied with the leave ending is that you adopt Laura because Laura and Mary were at the same hospital together. And
right.
So you kind of... as sort of like a symbol to Mary or sort of like a dedication to Mary, you take Laura with you.
Mm-hmm.
The Maria ending is really strange where you leave with Maria, but she starts coughing. It's kind of like James is going to repeat the same cycle.
Yeah. So but I guess that means that he hasn't come to terms with
it. No.
Yeah.
But how you get these endings, I think, is fucking awesome.
Uh-huh.
Like, so essentially to get the ending where you kill yourself, you have to keep yourself in low health state. And you also have to do things that would lean themselves towards self-harm. Like if you keep examining Angela's knife and you keep looking at the letter from your wife and you keep yourself in a low health state, you will kill yourself at the end of the game.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up, but I guess I get it.
It makes sense.
It kind of makes sense.
I don't know
sense.
Why you would otherwise examine the knife that much.
You don't know how to solve a puzzle. You keep examining of what to do.
Sure.
The Maria ending is really interesting. If you prevent her from taking damage and you spend time with her in the hospital bed and if you also protect her from monsters and you stand next to her. Do you remember when you were playing and you were playing late at night and you fell asleep because you couldn't find a save point? I said, oh my God, I hope you paused. Because if you spent 16 hours in a row standing next to her, you might have gotten that ending and you would have been very dissatisfied.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting. There's also some really cool stuff too. There are two parts in the game where you can put on a headset and just listen to your wife berate you the entire... Did you do that? It's near the end of the game.
Yeah.
You can put on a headset and have her scream at you. Yeah. And if you do that, that leans into you killing yourself as well, because you think you're a piece of shit.
That's so funny.
There's another... Do you remember the hallway where she's like crying for you? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's near the end of the game. That also affects the ending if you choose to listen to it. If you want a good ending, ignore it. Like, you have to just run through.
Yeah.
I was like, they do all of these subtle things that I've never seen another game do.
Yeah. More games should.
And it's really, I could probably talk on and on, like, about that stuff.
What about that one, I don't know if you're familiar with it, I think it's only if you do it on another playthrough where you collect those objects.
Rebirth?
Yeah. What's the deal with that?
Do you know what's funny? That's why I deleted my memory card before I let you borrow my PlayStation. I didn't want you to get it by accident. Mm. So that ending is you bring her to a... it's interesting. If you beat the game and you do, like, not a new game plus, but like a play it again... Mm-hmm. There are more items in the game that you can collect. You can actually get a bunch of culty symbols and items.
Yeah.
And at the end of the game, instead of getting leave, you actually try to bring Mary to a burial ground where you try to revive her.
Okay.
It's not canon, but it's interesting where you get a little bit into the culty nature of the town, and James buys into bringing her back.
Okay.
That's how that works.
And it's just like, there's no resolution.
There's no resolution. It's him either rowing or driving to the ritual site.
Okay.
And trying to bring her back.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then, of course, we get to my favorite endings.
The UFO and the dog.
UFO one is great. And it's again, like the first one where it's kind of still images. And a UFO comes down to abduct James, mm-hmm. and Harry helps them.
Yeah.
From the first game. Really funny. And the other one is, I'm sure everyone has seen it if you're a fan of Donkey, the dog ending, mm-hmm. where you walk into a control room.
And it's the dog who's been controlling it the whole time.
It's like a sheep, just at a... It's like, man, like, insane. I wish a game like Silent Hill ended like that on purpose. Like, and that was like the canon ending. Like, that would be fucking crazy.
I mean, I'm so glad that they don't let you get those the first time.
Yeah, it would kind of pollute the experience, I guess.
Yeah.
And the one that I got is closest to my philosophical, like, kind of beliefs. But I guess we should get into our final thoughts, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on. This is a very, it's a pivotal game for the horror genre in general. This game was universally acclaimed when it came out.
Yep.
And this is, I think I said this in the first episode. Silent Hill is highly regarded as one of the best horror franchises ever, mm-hmm. but there are only two good ones. And this game for me is I hate using this term because it feels very antiquated.
Yeah.
Remember like 10 years ago, the whole "our game's art"? It could have been 15 years ago at this point. This is one of them for me.
Sure.
Where it is not a fun game to play. The combat is shitty. You know, the puzzle solving is fine, but there's some stupid shit.
Highs and lows.
Yeah, there's some highs and lows. But for me, I really like everyman characters. And this game may have sparked that for me, where you're just a guy who's going through this horrible situation, and the game is is 80% nothing, mm-hmm. and like 20% like heartbreakingly awful.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I've experienced a game since that has that emotional connection for me. I mean, sure, I feel like I'm a sucker for sad stories anyway, and those are all the game stories I like. But for me, it's such a hard game to grade.
Yeah.
Where it's not fun. It's really miserable.
I think, like, for me, it's the way that I settle on grades for games is like how I feel by the end of them.
Yeah.
And it's like when I look back on this game and I consider like the highs and lows, it comes out to like a 7.
Yeah.
And like for someone who played it 20 years after I was supposed to.
Sure.
I think ultimately, because the highs are so high and the lows are so low.
Yeah.
It kind of, you know, I gave the first one an 8. I think this one is a 7 for me.
Mm-hmm. For me, that's hard. Like, this is one of those games that I might say is an A, where I'd like the way they do like the symbolism between the monsters and what it meant to the story and how all the subtleties, like the letter disappears when James snaps back to reality and how I think it does the other world better than the first game because it more like melds them into one.
Yeah.
But like, it's also a shit game to play.
I don't know. I think this game would, I mean, it's never going to happen, but I'm thinking remake. About like, I think big time, like someone who gets it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, understands the atmosphere, understands mm-hmm. the importance of all these little details. If you can like remake it, make the levels better, make
it more playable,
make the moment to moment experience better.
Yeah,
I think you really got something on your hands here, or at least like port it in a way that doesn't suck ass.
No, I mean I don't
use Comic Sans.
I believe if we're like listening to all the rumors, it's gotta come on. Like that's such a cash cow. If you remake it, it would make a ton of money, but who knows?
They're addicted to bad decisions, so who knows?
Yeah, Konami. Yeah, for sure. I think that's all I have to say about Silent Hill 2. It was a really special game for me, and thank you, Beppe, for playing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, if I had to give it a grade, it's probably an A- for me.
Sure.
Purely because of the story. But anyway, that's going to do it for this one, and I really am not looking forward to talking about the third one. Now, listen, people love the third one. We're going to talk about it next. But
it's going to be a fun episode, whether you like it or not.
Oh, boy. But thank you guys so much, and we'll catch you next time.